Willkommen, this is Julia.
And this is Shane, who misses Think Plant-Based. Think Plant-Based. Make sure to check out recipes, health tips, travel tips at www.thinkplantbased.com.
And we're officially on iTunes, so please rate and write us a review on iTunes.
Write us a review. Give us 2 stars, 3 stars, maybe 5 stars.
Let us know. Oh, for sure, five.
Yeah, I mean, who would give us 2 stars anyways, yeah. Right? But yeah, make sure to do that because that's how we get found. Welcome back. Again, welcome to Think Plant-Based. We got a special guest today.
We do.
Jason from Vegan Supply. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you guys doing?
Wow, pretty good. Enjoying the day.
Yeah, and we're so grateful that you have the time to talk with us today, actually, because we know you must be so busy with your vegan emporium you have.
Right. Your vegan empire in Vancouver here.
Lots on the go, but glad to help out and glad to do it. It's great that you asked and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
That's awesome. Oh, well, can you tell the listeners more about yourself?
Well, I've been vegan for almost 14 years. I was vegetarian for a couple years before that. And I became vegan at a time where a buddy of mine was diagnosed with skin cancer, and I was a junk food vegetarian myself, and was dealing with dealing with Crohn's disease, and I had I tried a number of different things to sort of kind of feel good with my Crohn's and try to minimize my symptoms. And I had varying levels of success, but I wasn't feeling the way I wanted to feel.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So when my friend was diagnosed with skin cancer, he decided to try out veganism. And I was already vegetarian, so he came to me and talked about it. And I thought, you know what, I think I was ready to give it a shot. There wasn't, the world of veganism was dramatically different than it is today, but I never looked back after that. It was one of those things. I definitely got into veganism from like a dietary perspective, but not long after, I drank the Kool-Aid, consumed as much stop consuming propaganda, and it really supported me and kind of broadened my knowledge base on why veganism mattered to me. And and that's kind of where I got my vegan roots. And as far as getting interested in offering vegan businesses, that was more connected to watching Earthlings. I'd already been vegan for a number of years by this point.
Were you in Vancouver at that time, or were you based somewhere else?
Yeah, I was in Vancouver.
Else?
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually opened a restaurant in 1994. And we actually had vegan food on our menu back then.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
What was the name of it?
The restaurant was called Deviate. It was a late night place.
Cool.
Open till 4 a.m. We had DJs and poetry readings and live bands. It's a place that was really kind of European in its style and really an alternative kind of space for Vancouver where a lot of what you would see is places like Earl's, Cactus Club, Milestones,
right.
Places like that.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Cool. So awesome. it was a fun spot. But back then we had vegan items, but I was not vegan at all back in those days.
That's pretty cool, though, that you actually see there is a niche, though, for like to have vegan options on your menu. That's pretty cool, I think.
Right. Started something even in the 90s.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite there yet. Right.
Yeah. Well, it's surprising to me that, I was conscious that it existed, but I still never really gave it much thought. Like I didn't really appreciate it back then. So,
right.
But we all go through our journeys in different ways. My wife, who became vegan at the same time we watched Earthlings together. So she had been around, we've been together for 18 years, and she became vegan roughly 3 or 4 years ago now when we watched Earthlings together. And she had seen slaughterhouse footage, and she had eaten many vegan meals in many vegan restaurants with me, and we'd cooked a lot at home. But something switched for both of us after watching Earthlings, and just the timing was right, and the way they encapsulate their arguments, and I really found it to be kind of a necessary thing. If you live on this planet, you should watch that movie, regardless of how difficult you find it.
I agree. Right. You know, I watched it actually in sections, Earthlings. That helped me because it was so, like, it tore my heart, you know, some scenes. And I just needed it, like, this to watch it in sections. But I wanted to finish it. That was definitely my goal. Yeah. Did you just watch it straight? Could you watch it?
I watched it well, straight, strong. It's really evident that in our lives, we tend to avoid those things that are difficult.
Yeah,
totally.
And Earthlings is a difficult watch. We don't want to see that.
Exactly.
And if we don't, like, I was vegan. I had nothing to, at least I thought I had nothing to gain from watching something like this. I didn't need to see the horrors of what goes on. I knew what it was about.
Exactly. Yeah, me too.
But I was wrong. It was transformational. It was really, it was exceptional. And so it reminds me on a regular basis that it's important for us to continue to see those things that we don't like and almost force ourselves to watch them just to, you know, reaffirm and adjust and constantly be reevaluating what we actually think we know.
That's so true, right? And you never know. Some people go back to eating meat, right? But this is actually a confirmation, like you said, you know, to watch it. And then actually to
remind yourself,
that why
this actually happens. Yeah,
and
in
why
closed doors. Yeah,
exactly. So,
yeah.
And I feel like, oh yeah, I put my sorrow into action. You know, that's how I felt when I watched Earthlings. Like, I know the information, so I will tell others, not like in a preachy way, but if they ask me, you know, then I say like, well, I watched Earthlings and I was vegan already. And it's pretty powerful. Like, if you like to watch it, right? So.
I honestly still haven't seen it, but I still want to see it eventually.
Yeah.
Well,
I think after this discussion, you're going to have to put aside some time. It is exceptional.
Yeah.
Like, now you're saying that you might have seen some other pieces since then, but like movies like, you know, Forks Over Knives and most of the other pieces are not the same as Earthlings. So
I would
recommend all the listeners to get a box of tissues out, watch it.
Yeah.
And see the depth of the issue,
yes.
Right.
And realize that it's going to be, you know, disturbing, and realize that, you know, you might have some post-traumatic stress symptoms and stuff like that. But that's good. Like, it's
growing,
good that you
right?
actually realize that these things are going on in our world, and that we all have the power to make change, either on a micro or a macro level or both.
Right.
And
totally.
And I think that's really. That's the piece that that's the role it played for me and most of the people around me. It had an impact. Now, did they change what they did in their lives? Not necessarily, but certainly their awareness changed. And I think that's really what our responsibility is. So,
definitely.
Anyway, we can talk Earthlings for a long time.
I mean, like, definitely, right? But now you're making a difference every day, right? Like, I actually wonder too, like, how did you get started with a vegan supply? After like becoming vegan and everything, how did you get to that direction?
Well, it comes back down to me making a conscious choice to, I've done a lot of interesting things. I had that restaurant years ago.
Right.
I've been involved in other projects along the way, but I was always doing things that I wanted to do that I thought were, you know, held value, that I thought was fun. But when I saw Earthlings, I realized like I had something that I could connect. I could be on purpose. And,
right.
you know, that concept of actually doing what you know you're meant to do is exceptional. It gives you a reason to wake up every day. And Vegan Supply was part of that solution. So,
yeah.
you know, both meat and Vegan Supply came about in a similar time. I had already had an organic grocery store, and
was that in White Rock? The one
correct,
in
that was Surrey area.
Yeah,
and I had been transitioning more of the items that we carried to specialty vegan items over the years because of my personal interest. So it was happening anyway, but we were still carrying other products.
Right.
And my family members, they weren't vegan. So we had organic dairy and we had, you know, organic, whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
cheeses salt, and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Cheeses and all those kinds of things.
Right.
So,
and
so that was my compromise. My wife wasn't vegan. My kids weren't vegan. And, but then with all these changes going on, it was, a conscious shift of saying, I know what it's like to try and, find some of these items, and I'm going to try and make it easier for everybody else. Because if I want to help shift veganism in the mainstream, which is what I feel my purpose is,
right,
then I have to make these products more accessible.
Right.
Yeah, totally.
And so
Question. Did you have like an online shop already at the same time?
So we utilized this store in South Surrey as our warehouse, and we started an online store about 3 years ago. And that's kind of where we got started. Actually, the official place we got started was at the Vancouver Veg Expo.
Nice.
And so, yeah, we basically set up a booth, brought all our specialized inventory to that show, and not long thereafter, we set up the online store.
Okay.
And that's kind of how it all came about. And so it started online, it started at the show, went online, and then this summer we opened up the location in Chinatown and made that accessible to people on a more regular basis. Because online shopping for grocery, once you get used to it, and I believe also in the future it's going to become the norm, but
yeah,
for where we're at even today, I think a lot of people much prefer touching and feeling and checking out the products they're going to buy when it comes to food.
I agree. Yeah,
I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
I still like to go, I still like the physical, like the clothing is still even weird for me because every clothing fits weird and food. I don't want it delivered to my house. I want to actually go. It's like an experience for me to go to the grocery store and read labels and see what's going on with new items and stuff. So
we go quite a lot to Vegan Supply and we really like the cheese section, you know, the Vivo Life
always
Parmesan
looking in the cheese section.
That Vivo Life Parmesan. See, this is what I'm saying is not even like, let's not go 15 years ago, but 5 years ago, most of the unique vegan items weren't even around. So none of these companies existed.
Right.
It's like people are talking about Bitcoin and all these types of things that are, you know, happening and changing all around us. Well, veganism is in the exact same boat. Like if you have an interest and you want to join this movement, there's opportunity to people to make a lot of change and help people with veganism right now. And it's an exceptional time. And it's exciting to see what people are doing and the businesses people are starting. And they're creating solutions and making it easier for others to go vegan. And I'm really, really excited about what the future is going to hold, knowing how far we've come in just 5 short years.
Yeah, totally.
For me too, definitely. Well, veganism is the fastest growing movement in the world, right?
Yeah,
I mean, we see it.
Movement too, yeah.
Definitely. That's amazing. So where do you see Vegan Supply going in the future then? Like, are there going to be more grocery stores?
Yeah, you're going to have a chain? Are you going to have a, you know, franchise of them, or you want to keep it small still?
Well, our goal is to make veganism more accessible to the mainstream. So we have a few ways we're going to do that. Our online business has, which is kind of our roots, we're going to try and do a better job of, you know, our inventory position isn't great because a lot of these companies run out of stock and then our distributors run out of stock and then we run out of stock. So
right.
I find that for me, it's kind of frustrating on the online side because unlike a retail store where you can come in and see all the cheeses that are there, on the online store, all you see is all these out of stock notifications for products. And it's really, it's quite frustrating. I do feel online is going to be a big part of how we grow in the future because a lot of people live in food deserts.
Right.
And our goal is to, you should be able to be vegan anywhere now. And shipping costs, while expensive, you know, if you're coming into Vancouver and you're parking downtown, this should give people some comfort. If you're making a trip to Vancouver, you could end up spending, you know, X number of dollars on gas and parking. And if you come to Vegan Supply, you're going to have to go to Kokomo via, you know, Virtuous Pie or Umaluma. And by the time you're done, you're going to spend 20 or 30 bucks just being vegan in the area. So
that's so true.
So shipping will be a little bit less expensive if you consider all those other costs. But shipping is still an expensive part for those, especially who are buying refrigerated items. Like if you're buying refrigerated items, and you want that shipped within 2 days, and you live, you know, in somewhere, say in Ottawa or something, you're going to spend a chunk of change trying to get it over there. And again, it's not prohibitively expensive if you're ordering a large order or sharing with friends. But if you want to order one block of cheese, it doesn't work, right? The model doesn't work that way.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But you ship worldwide, right? So
We ship all over, but I think the big way to make Vegan Supply work for a lot of people is that people find ways to do their grocery shopping there, because there's very few places across this country where you can actually buy your vegan items from a vegan merchant who, you know, isn't going to have to reroute a chunk of the profits that come in mm-hmm. to support their, you know, struggling dairy or butcher department. So right. that's something for, you know, we've been told by a number of people that they're just so happy to be able to not have to contribute to the meat department of their local store to get their vegan items. So yeah, I think there's an opportunity there. The other things where we'd love to grow more stores. We just, unlike a lot of the big retailers, we don't have deep pockets. We're right. here because we love what we do. Now, is there a future where we might try and raise some money and make those things more accessible? I would say possibly. I would say that I'm open to that. Again, as long as we're helping the mainstream go vegan, we're doing what we're, I think, intended to do. And I anticipate there'll be a time in the future where we're not needed because everyone's vegan, and that would be amazing.
Every store is all vegan now.
Pizza Hut has vegan options and all these places, mainstream places, right? They offer vegan food now too.
It's going to be like the norm, and people, you know, the majority might even be vegan. Who knows, right?
We never know.
Regardless, it's going to be more than it is today, with more options than there is today. And we'd love to play a role in it, but more than playing the role, it's important that it happens. So we'll just be evaluating what the best way is for us to apply our time to make sure that change occurs. And if we can play a role, we will. And if there's a different path we need to take to get to that goal, we'll consider that as well.
Right. I mean, I see you have so many ideas and stuff. Like, how do you stay even sane? Like, where is your time where you can just relax your mind?
Sleep.
Like, I feel you so inspired by your lifestyle, you know, and making this world a better place. I mean, we need more people like that, you know? Like, we can't just, like, get one person to do it all, right? We need, like, a great team. Like, how do you do it? Like,
well, I don't do a good job of it, number one. Like, I think I drop a lot of balls. You know what it's like trying to get in touch and stuff. It's like, I just do the best I can. And there's a ton of people doing similar things. They're doing lots. And I would like to, you know, I have a family. I got 3 kids.
Right.
I
don't know where you find the time for everything. That's impressive.
Good
time management.
Well, no, that's like, again, I would say that that would be giving me more credit. We have an amazing team of people that really care about what we're doing, and it's all about them.
Like, that's the key, right?
For sure. We're doing something that matters. It's hard to find work that is like that for a lot of people. Most people don't have the privilege of doing things that matter to them. Like, we have to pay it's a very expensive city in Vancouver. It's a privilege to do work. It's crazy that I'm saying this, but it's really a privilege to do work that is connected to something that matters to you.
That's so true, right? I agree.
You know, again, these people are making financial sacrifices. Like, nobody on the team is getting rich. It's everyone's just kind of trying to live in Vancouver and do what we can to make change. And we have a great team of people doing it. So we're going to keep forging ahead and doing that to try and find cool things to make that whole process easier.
Right. Nice. Well, talking about cool things, you also opened up Meat on Main. When did you first start doing that? Or, like, what gave you the shift to do from vegan supply, the online thing, to having another restaurant?
So Meat was actually, okay, so the store existed before Meat, but Meat existed before vegan supply.
Right.
So a friend of mine who I, you know, again, when I had that restaurant Deviate, my friend in Meat, his name is Evo. He had restaurants that he's been running all the way through for a number of years. Right. My wife went to culinary school, and there was talk about a different operation that we could run. And being vegan for all these years, I felt that there was an opportunity to have something like Meat. I know when I traveled, some of the elements that I liked to experience, and Even I live in White Rock now, so I still look forward to going to meet, even though there's more choices. Like, I love going to Virtuous Pie. I love going to Chow. Mm-hmm. There's so many places I love to go to.
Right.
But I still look forward to, like, I had a double bacon, double cheeseburger last night.
It's one of the few, like, pub places where you could go in, like, you know, that atmosphere of a pub versus a restaurant.
Definitely.
And you can have maybe even a drink. You can just go and you can get, you know, vegan appies while you sit. Right? Maybe not just a meal, right? So I think that's what really drives a lot of people to come out, especially on like Fridays and Saturdays. Definitely. And that's why it's so packed, I think.
I just wrote a review actually about your meat on Main. I will send it to you too so you can have a read. But yeah,
That's great, what Shane
just mentioned. You know, it's like the pub atmosphere and you can even bring your omnivores in there and they won't even tell sometimes like, oh, what? It's not a meat burger?
They're happy too, yeah.
Yeah, they're actually really satisfied in the end too. They're like, thank you so much for bringing me to like Meat on Main or Meat in Gastown. It's like such a great atmosphere.
And that's why that business exists. It really, again, transitioning to mainstream is going to happen when somebody doesn't feel compromised. And so meat was intended to do that. Where you come in, you can have a meal, and you're not feeling like you've given something up.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's kind of the opposite, is that people feel that they're able to make healthier choices, even though many times when people come into meat, they don't always make the healthy choices, right? They'll get, you know, they might get fries here and deep fried that. And again, like you can make bad choices in any food environment.
Sure.
We have a lot of really healthy choices, but in for many cases, we have we have great comfort foods which are really difficult to cook at home, and you don't want to be eating those types of things 7 days a week for two meals a day.
Yeah.
No.
So it's just not good to have too much. So, but yeah, that's kind of what meat's there. It's to make things easy and to, you know, solve people's cravings when they've made that transition, they've become vegan, they've been vegan for 4 months or 5 months, and they loved floats, and they wanted to have a root beer float, and they're like, well, where am I going to do that? Well, we have a float, we have macaroni and cheese, we have some of those things that you might reminisce from the days before you were actually dairy-free or vegan or whatever path you might be on.
Right. I just love actually spending my money on a vegan business, you know, like a restaurant that is vegan. Instead of, I mean, here and there I might go to a vegan-friendly place, but in the end I know more or less where the money goes, you know, to the vegan business. And
especially
to support
a local business too, right? It's great that Vancouver, you can, you know, build restaurants like that. Like, I think a lot of my favorite restaurants are all local, definitely local restaurants. They're just like the gem of the city. I think that's what really, you know, makes the city what the city is, right? Those special places that are only to that city.
Definitely.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and again, talk about privilege. It's a privilege to be able to have all these vegan businesses to support, because years ago, it was really poor vegan options in a few places, and the the number of places you could actually go to and get a decent assortment of vegan products was really limited.
Right.
And so it's amazing now. Like I it's like, where do you want to go now? You can actually think of all these different places to go, and every year, you know, there's going to be a few new spots now, and it's exciting. I love it.
Definitely, right? So I have another question. What would you say, like, especially you, when someone asks you, well, it's so hard to be vegan. Like, what would you say?
Well, I think the concept of it being hard to be vegan, I think there's two elements to that that jump out to me right away. I'm not really convinced it's as hard to be vegan as it is hard to change. And a lot of people are definitely having a difficult time just changing who they are in the most broadest of senses. Now, changing your diet, that is another level of difficulty altogether.
Yeah.
So I think when people wrap their heads around why, all change becomes that much easier when you have an incentive. And I think that's where movies like Earthlings become so powerful and become, so much of a kind of a stronghold in the background there to keep you steady as you look to make those types of changes. But, you know, if you're ill, it's easy to change. If you're
if you have a reason to change, you're more likely to change, for sure.
But Jason, you know, there are people out there that think too, like, why should I become vegan? Like, there's so many other people that eat meat. I don't think it's fair, you know? I want to eat meat too, then. But there's so many. There are more people eating meat than
the privilege.
Being vegan, like, why should I change? Like, yeah. You know, there's some people like that too, right? They're like, I don't want to miss out.
Yeah, a lot of it is like there's societal norms. I used to sit down. I can remember the days where before I was vegan, I used to sit down with a plate of chicken wings and sit down and eat 30 or 40 chicken wings. The thought of that today is horrific. It's horrific.
Yeah, me too.
but it's just part of how we are conditioned at the time. And a lot of it comes down to knowledge. Like, I realized the more I looked into and understood what the choices, the consequences of my actions,
yeah,
it was so much easier for me to change. Like, I at a very young age, I felt duped when I figured out all these things, how the food system actually worked and how information wasn't really freely offered to me growing up. Right. I felt like I was delivered a set of information that was meant for me to have a certain set of beliefs as a result.
Right.
And as a result, we're a product of that. Well, I think today I would say for those people who don't find it easy to become vegan, don't necessarily start with becoming vegan. Start by opening your mind.
Yeah.
I agree. That's
get the knowledge of where your food's coming from. I mean, even vegetables and everything, right? Mm-hmm. You should know what's in your food and your crackers. I mean, half the stuff you buy at stores has got the weirdest ingredients. You're like, how is that even for human consumption? Like, it's totally. It's amazing.
And if you have a compassionate side to you, not everybody does, but most people do. Like, I really believe that most people have compassion. You hear it all the time. You know, I love animals, but I eat
my dog. Like, yeah, so cute. Yeah. Oh, he's smiling at me. But, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So we do need, for so many reasons, it's really important that people invest into learning more and raising their level of consciousness around these issues. Right. And I think then for many, many people, and this is why so many more people are becoming vegan right now, is that social media has really exposed a lot of people to small little snippets of what's actually going on around them that they just weren't aware of before. Some people still turn a blind eye to it, but for so many people, it might not be their first point of contact or their fifth point of contact. But after a while, people start to reevaluate. Right. And as a result, we have change. So I would say that, you know, for those people who aren't ready to go vegan today, just the biggest thing would be just try and keeping them open to consuming more information. And they learn for themselves and they can make an educated choice on what decision and what path they want to take in the future. My belief is that through doing so, many of them will become vegan. And the cool thing is that so many people are putting information out there right now in a myriad of ways. Some people are protesting at slaughterhouses, and some people are protesting at the aquarium, and some people are producing amazing foods, and some people are at farmers markets, and all these little touch points are little influence points for people to actually kind of question what their everyday assumptions are.
You want to plant the seed, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Planting the seeds. Like, are your kids vegan as well?
No, so I got three boys.
Yeah.
One of the three is vegan. My wife wasn't vegan for most of our relationship, which I know a lot of people struggle with, is that their partners aren't vegan.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, there was never any pressure for it because I wouldn't want anybody to make a decision for me. It's something that has to be for themselves.
Okay.
One of my sons became vegan over the last, roughly the same time as my wife. The other two kids are pescatarian right now.
Okay. Well, it's a step by step, right? And as you said, like, we don't want to pressure everyone. We're not like preachy here. It's about being an inspiration, no? Living.
Well, the funny thing is, I really do want to pressure everybody, and I'd love to bash people over the head, but I don't believe it works.
It's
so.
Still not pressuring. You're just very compassionate. That's how I see it, you know? I know I'm like vegan myself, but I can feel with you, you know what, because you know so much, you know the truth, right? You wish like everyone could see it.
The same light that you see, right? But it takes time, right? Or maybe they'll never see it at all. But it's got to be, you know, a conscious decision for yourself or for their selves.
Right. But it's like a flower. Like, not all the flowers bloom at the same time, right? Like, every flower needs time to bloom. That's how I see it with people. And so it just happens at the right time.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys had this experience, but even when I, like, we have a lot of friends who've tried vegan diets, and I find, at least for in my life, what I experienced and what I watched experience with people around me is that a lot of people go vegan but never have the switch go off in their head that changes who they are. They right. are having they're embarking on a vegan diet or even a vegan lifestyle, but the switch doesn't go off. And that switch, something shifts in you when it does, and there's no way for you to go back because you're not on a diet.
Exactly. No.
It becomes part of who you are.
Your belief system, right?
It's a lifestyle. It's not a diet anyways.
Yeah, but even the lifestyle, there's a lot of people who are really, strict vegans, and they change all their clothing, they do all this, they do all that.
Right.
And then something happens, and then they switch back. It does happen.
But right.
for me... Yeah, I find it really odd because I can't conceptualize that. For this, the switch that happened for me, that isn't even the realm of possibility.
Yeah, for me neither. But, actually they said like 68% or something that go on a vegan journey go back, to eating meat. But I think it's too much on your mind, because like all of a sudden you're not eating eggs anymore, you're not eating dairy.
You smell a steak cooking and the barbecue, and it triggers, your brain to when you used to have it. It's hard. I mean, you're always being tempted with something.
Right. And people around you, what? So why are you vegan? Or like people think like there's this pressure, like, oh, you might not have many friends anymore. Or at work, you can't eat all the food that your coworkers are eating. You feel maybe left behind. But it's not really true. It's all in your mind. Like you actually make up most of the things in your life anyways. A lot of people actually don't care what you eat. And if they do... And if they judge you according to that, then they're not even your real friends,
Yeah, it's an interesting one for sure. I always find that statistic a little staggering. It feels like it's put out by the meat industry that 68 to 70% people switch back. I don't know. All the people that I know have been vegan. Maybe that's because they just don't want to tell me that they're not vegan. But I don't see these numbers of people switching back. I don't see that around me. I see people have vegan food, for a week. They try veganism for a week and they don't stick to it. But that's not somebody becoming vegan. That's somebody, that's somebody going on a juice fast. That's somebody
a cleanse.
Or a cleanse or something. That's not somebody becoming vegan.
Right.
When you're vegan, it's a change that continues and increases over time. Like you start by shifting certain things in your diet. You then move to gaining more knowledge and you realize you have to shift even more things in your diet because a lot of the things that you assumed were vegan aren't even vegan. Then you start to change some of your personal care products, your clothing, and it's actually a long process to fully veganize your life it takes a long, long time.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, you need to be patient with yourself too, right?
Totally.
You need to gain the knowledge. And like for me, I knew like when I became vegan, I needed to know why, like I'm more like the spiritual person too, but I love the nutrition. But for me to stay vegan, I need to know why. I don't need to remind myself anymore like you, but still like that's the key for people I find, to not go back to eating meat. It's like, why did you even choose that lifestyle? Not just because it's trendy and everyone does it, or I want to lose weight. It's not really that. That should be your motivation alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. So what do you think, because you were vegetarian, you said, for many years before you went vegan, right? Did you see any like different benefits of going plant-based? Like, did you feel more energy? Did you feel more lighter? Did your digestive system start working better? I know when I did it, definitely started working a lot better and had so much more energy.
I think one of the, the core elements for me would have been just a shift off of dairy. So I think dairy causes a lot of problems for a lot of people. I believe it sort of sets off a cascade of inflammation. And for a lot of people, mucus, it's very mucus building. So
sure. Yeah.
For me, I noticed a shift right away. I found there was a significant change. I would feel fairly comfortable that like a good chunk of people would probably stand to see more physical change from eliminating dairy than they would from eating, eliminating their white chicken breasts or whatever they're eating like on the side instead. not to say that I want them to do that. I'm just saying I find that the switch from vegetarianism to veganism is more physically transformational. Just that eliminating dairy makes a huge difference.
Yeah, why do you think so?
I think the physiological effects are pretty significant too. There's a very addictive side to eating cheese, and when I eliminated cheese, there wasn't a lot of vegan cheese options. So I actually got rid of a very addictive substance.
Yeah.
And even now, I don't even crave, like, there's a lot of amazing vegan cheeses, but I don't even crave them anymore.
Exactly.
Because I got rid of cheese at a time where there was no choice. So I actually really eliminated cheese from my diet. And then dairy itself, as I was mentioning, it causes digestive unrest for a lot of people, even at a very kind of, minor level that I think is something we can't always register. I think it changes our chemistry. We're just not, meant to be consuming lactation fluid at that juncture in our life. Even cows, adult cows don't have a little drink here and there. Like
us as adults don't have from our moms till we're like 40 years old. We're not drinking their breast milk
for
40 years old. So when do we think it's a good idea to keep drinking it, in our fridges from another mammal? It just doesn't really make sense.
No. Animals know better.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a shift. Now, is it possible to sustain yourself on that? For sure. In an emergency situation where it's you and a goat that has a young and you need it to survive. Like,
totally.
There are situations where you could do that. But I mean, we're not in
a
time where we're in survival mode.
Definitely.
In North America specifically. Like, there may be parts of the world where things are different. I don't want to judge how it is everywhere else, but my assumption from the limited knowledge that I have is there's pretty much alternatives everywhere in the world. Now, there are places that are so cold, I know they can't grow produce and they don't have opportunities to, store as many things for the winter months. But for the most part, in a large percentage of the world there, it's possible, I believe, to lead a vegan lifestyle.
Definitely. So. Well, I used to eat a lot of cheese. I thought I can never give it up. How about you?
Never give up cheese.
Did you eat a lot of cheese, especially cheese?
Well, you know what? I wasn't a big, here's how I ate cheese. I didn't eat a block of cheese. I didn't sit down and do that. What I did was I would have pizza. I'd have quesadillas. I'd have things that had cheese in them. So I was a big pizza fan. I loved pizza. A pizza slice was a great thing for me. I was always down for that. But I wasn't even though I had cheese fondue and raclette and all these kinds, that's not kind of how I ate my cheese. I didn't do cheese on crackers, even though I've certainly had all those things, but I didn't crave those things.
Right.
So, yeah, it's like I like smoked Gouda, I liked Boursin, I had lots of cheeses that I enjoyed, but yeah, it wasn't until after when I stopped eating cheese I realized how much cheese I actually did eat.
Right.
Like a lot of things.
Yeah.
Okay, so the transition was easy for you because I was
No. It wasn't.
Okay,
no,
I thought there, it was no because vegan. I was a cheese addict. So
no, well, there was no vegan cheese, right? So all those things like pizza, I went right now, you could go from not having the pizza that you love to having a pizza that's pretty special. There's so many places that have good vegan pizza, and there's a few places that have great vegan pizza.
Oh,
some have cheese on them, and some don't have anything, but it's kind of no compromise, whereas years ago, there was nothing. they used to put, a lot of places actually had cheese in their sauce or cheese in their crust.
Right. They put in everything, or they put butter in their sauce or whatever, right? Everything.
Yeah. So even though I didn't eat cheese, in Europe, I realized cheese is incorporated into a lot of meals.
Sure.
It was still a daily ritual for me. I had cheese, but it just wasn't, I just wouldn't sit down and have a block of it.
Right.
Well, we're very blessed where we live, right, in Vancouver, BC here. But we had the spokesperson of Happy Cow on our last podcast, and he actually traveled to South America, Chile and Argentina. And he actually said it's so hard to actually find vegan food there. So hard.
He said even the produce quality was nothing. You couldn't even really get great produce there. He said it was just so meat driven.
Yeah.
That he said it was one of the worst places. And he travels, that's his job, to travel around as a spokesperson for Happy Cow. And he was just, he's like, no, I'm never going back there. He just couldn't do it there, he said. Yeah. So there is, I guess, some places still in the world that are definitely...
You got to learn how to cook, though. You know, that's the key, too. I find that when you become vegan, hopefully you start learning how to cook, you know, because that will be more enjoyable, you know, like to have a variety of foods. I think that's important, too, to have fun with, like, eating vegan food.
Yeah, in most places that don't have a wide assortment of vegan options, I'm not talking about prepared choices, but where produce is a little limited, there is always a couple staples in every community. So whether it be rice and beans, or like, there's always going to be something. And so it's just a matter of learning the culture beforehand and also being good with, hey, this is kind of like, you know, again, we'll call it a cleanse, but I'm going to be eating a very limited diet over this next period of time. And my digestive system is going to shift because of it. And so that's okay. But I mean, a lot of it is preparation. If you go and you are still addicted to today's vegan choices that you've, you know, become accustomed to, you might find it difficult because, yeah, we're really spoiled here. There's no two ways about it.
Exactly.
Vancouver's a, yeah, like it's, you know, probably top 10 in the world or something for vegan places. I say that because, but really there's so many exceptional vegan cities now that, you know, you can go all across Europe, amazing vegan choices, all across the States, lots of vegan choices. So it's, you know, we're in a special time, but there are still food deserts. And that's kind of where that online piece comes in, is making sure you have accessibility for all the things that you're looking for to build the recipes you want, so you can not feel like you're depriving yourself.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so when you transitioned from vegetarian to veganism, did you start supplementing, or you thought, you know, like, I have almond milk and soy milk, I'll be fine, or like mostly just probably the B12 or the D vitamins?
Yeah, I would say at the time I probably didn't supplement. It struck me that I think I probably went a few years without really knowing much about B12 and knowing much about, you know, the needs of D. So, you know, now I have, and I've actually, for B12, I've taken shots, I've had pills, I've had liquid, I've done all sorts of stuff. But and when it comes to D, I've had vegan, you know, D2, vegan D3, and I try to keep that on the regular. But what I don't do, and I probably should be doing more often, is doing blood tests just to make sure that I'm where I need to be. But that's something that, you know, we talk about things that get compromised when you're busy. That's the type of stuff that...
You should never compromise your health, though. That's
exactly.
What I know.
Because if you don't have your health right, you can't, like, cope with your vegan emporium. Like, you really need, like, your health, right, to keep on doing what you're doing. And we really have deep respect for what you're doing, so... Please take care of yourself as well, right? For sure.
Yeah, well, I can't promise. I'll do my best.
I'm sure you will. Well, thanks so much for your, like,
taking the time to
speak. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for doing this. It's great that you're out there exposing people to all this information, getting great guests on, and hopefully I've provide some information that might be valuable for people.
Where can listeners find you? Just, we'll put it up on the show notes, but if you just want to say your website and everything out.
Yeah, so we're at vegansupply.ca. That's where the online business is available. We also have a location in Chinatown. Mm-hmm. We have a location of the meat restaurants. One of them is at Main Street, Main and 27th. That's Meat on Main. And the website is meatonmain.com. And it's also eatmeat.ca. Those are the two web domains for that. We also have a location in Gastown near Gassy Jack. And we're opening up a location in January in Yaletown. So that's
so
going to be
amazing.
Yeah, near the Canada line.
So, oh, wow.
Where you get off a few doors down from the Starbucks. So that's kind of where we're doing that. If you wanted to have an early chance to come in to test menu items for Main Street, for Yaletown, you just got to follow us on Instagram, and we'll be doing kind of a preview for people to come in and test out our systems, make sure our point of sale works, make sure our kitchen crew is working well. And we usually do, in the first couple of weeks, we have some discounted days, but we make that available through our social media. So if you're not following us, it's a good idea to do so, to get involved with that. So.
All right. Perfect.
Excellent.
Yeah. So we'll talk to you. Maybe we'll have you another time on the podcast later on, maybe next year. You can tell us more about Meat in Yale Town and Earthlings.
happy to help out. Happy to help out anywhere I can. And thank you.
Have a great day.
Take care, eh?
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye. Jason.
All right, ciao.
See ya.